You're listening to This is Yoga Therapy. I'm your host, Michelle Lawrence, and I've had the opportunity to interview many of those who are making a difference at the intersections of yoga and health. And I'm here to share with you their stories and conversations. Thanks for listening. In today's episode, I interview Joanna Sepier. Joanna is a business strategist for holistic practitioners, particularly those that integrate multiple modalities. Her special ability is in helping practitioners set up repeatable systems and processes in their businesses to serve their clients more powerfully, enroll committed long-term clients, and create steady income and cash flow. She has been a teacher and trainer for more than 20 years, from the classroom to the gym floor and now to wellness practices across the world. Born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area, she's a mother of two, a USA Masters national champion in Olympic-style weightlifting, and the host of the Business Revolution for Practitioners podcast. It's great to meet you and have you here today, Joanna.
You too. Thanks for having me, Michelle.
And I can tell right away, like, you're good at helping people craft their value statements, or that's one of your skill sets, because it just comes across so clearly in your little bio that I shared just now. So I want to commend you on that. And we'll get to know each other a little bit more here over the next little bit as we talk on the podcast too. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your story? Like, how did you come to be a business strategist? And why did you focus on holistic practitioners? From what I understand, you had your own brick and mortar wellness business for almost a decade, and you experienced some tough lessons before you figured out how to get better results. So perhaps you can share more about that too.
Yeah, I think any of us in the wellness professions, you know, these are helping professions, and we don't start these businesses with an MBA behind us or even usually a business plan. We just are like, we know we have these skills and we want to help people. And so kind of hang the shingle and get going. And that's how I ended up starting my gym, was a strength and conditioning gym. I had absolutely no experience in business. I had been a public high school teacher for the previous 10 years. I did not have visions of, I want to own my own business. I didn't have visions of being an entrepreneur. I simply had a service that had changed my life, and I wanted it to exist in my community. I wanted it to be in my community, and it wasn't already there. And so I decided to start this business. And what happened was I did start it, and it took off. And it was just me. And I found myself completely heading on the road to burnout very, very early. And I realized, oh, this is totally unsustainable. And I actually need to learn how to run a business. I've already proven that this is viable, that people are showing up and wanting this. So now, how do I learn how to run a business? And I actually really enjoyed the process of learning business and learning how to put in place the structures and the systems for the business to be what I wanted it to be, to serve my clients as deeply and powerfully and transformationally as possible, to provide steady and predictable income for me and anybody that was working there, and to provide the kind of lifestyle for me to live, the kind of lifestyle that I wanted to live, as well as any of my employees, which means usually not working 40, 50, 60 hour work weeks, which is pretty common in small business and especially in wellness. So that's what I set about doing, is learning how to do that. And I spent years learning how to do that. And eventually, well, just a couple years in, somebody approached me and wanted to buy my business. And that was when I went, oh, that's actually the exit plan here, is that I can build a business that somebody wants to buy and that can run without me, so that they're truly not buying a job. They're buying a business that is running and profitable. And so that's what I decided to do. And I sold that. As to the question of why I now do business strategy and why specifically with wellness practitioners? Well, first of all, wellness practitioners, that's where my heart is. That is just part of my purpose and mission in the world, is to help people become agents of change in their own lives so that they can help others. And I feel that I'm living that mission through working with practitioners who are creating that change in their clients. And I saw the need for it because as an athlete and somebody who really cared about my health, I was the client of so many, and still am. I am and was the client of so many different practitioners in all different fields, you know, from body work to yoga to naturopathy, and could see that they were fantastic practitioners. I experienced that they really were good at what they did, and yet their businesses didn't show it at all. They were either overworked and slammed the way I had experienced, or they were struggling financially, or the worst was both. The worst was when people were totally burned out and not doing well financially. So there was clearly a need for it. And I feel like what I do now is this culmination of all the phases of my past lives and professional lives, as I really think that who I am first and foremost is a teacher in whatever capacity. And so that is how I identify myself now. And what I do is I teach business to wellness practitioners so they can have more sustainable and profitable businesses.
That's so cool. And I can just hear in your voice and the way that you talk about it that you have a real passion for it. And I can actually also tell that you're good at what you do. Like, there's a level of confidence that you convey in the way you speak that makes me want to know more and to have a look at how you help people. So I'd love to know, you said wellness provider. So who are some of the typical clients you serve? Give us a picture of who those clients are.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do end up working with people who provide services that others might not consider wellness. And yet they showed up to me and I said, yes, you're a great fit. So some are what you might expect. So I have many body workers. I have trauma practitioners and psychotherapists. I have fitness and movement specialists. I have acupuncturists. But then some of the, I'm looking at my list of folks here, Pilates studio owners, health coaches, kinesiologists, more kind of, yeah, body work. And then, a cranial sacral practitioner. Some of the ones that are a little outside of what folks might think is I have multiple literacy specialists and parenting coaches. So maybe coaching would be another way to look at it. So somebody who helps children catch up that are behind in their reading. I have somebody who helps parents with raising resilient kids. And I have even currently have a divorce mediator. So it's a trained attorney, but who only works in mediation. I also have a music teacher who helps people with musical performance. So some of those are a little bit outside of what we might consider wellness, and yet they really are personal transformation services.
Great. So our listening audience is made up of yoga teachers primarily and yoga therapists and those wellness providers who often use more than one modality. So someone who's a massage therapist and a yoga therapist, or a yoga teacher and yoga therapist, or coach and yoga therapist, or coach and yoga teacher. So can you share with them, this audience that is listening now, a bit of advice on how to market their services when they have more than one type of offering?
Yeah. Well, first of all, that is my specialty. My specialty is multimodal practitioners who are actually, you know, a lot of them say, many people come with the title of yoga teacher and they come to me and they say, but I'm so much more than a yoga teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that you teach therapeutic yoga. So for example, if the kind of mainstream public just thinks of yoga as this thing where people are learning how to be more flexible, they have no clue what therapeutic yoga is and can do for them, right? I imagine you see this too, that yoga often is the entryway. It's like the gateway to actually getting into deeper nervous system modalities. And so a lot of times people start is in yoga of some sort, and then it gets deeper and deeper from there. So the key here is that you don't need to define yourself by your modality. And that actually, I think one of the big mistakes that I see practitioners make is offering their services as modalities. So it's like, okay, I do yoga and I do, what'd you say, and also body work. So let's say yoga and massage therapy. And so they might have on their website, for example, this list of like, do you want to book private yoga classes or do you want to book body work? And what we want to do is integrate those things, right? And when you integrate them, the modalities are not actually so important, especially when people don't even really understand what those modalities are about or what they can do for them.
I love what you're saying. It's like, how can you help me, right?
Exactly. So any of your marketing actually, this is for anybody to say this, even if you're not a multimodal practitioner, your marketing should not be about here's who I am and here's what I do. Your marketing should be saying to your prospective clients, to your market, I see you. So here's who you are. And here are the problems I know you have, or here are the goals that I know you have, the desires I know you have, and here is a way to reach them, which means you need to really know who your ideal clients are, you know, who your market is. It can't just be super general, but you want your marketing to be about them and not about you. And truthfully, the modalities you use are pretty much irrelevant to them until they're actually interested. They will start asking questions. They will start seeking. So it's not something you lead with. It's something that comes a little bit later.
That's so interesting because we're in this field of yoga therapy. And so a yoga therapist is someone who has extensive training, who works with healthcare professionals. It's a professional field that is different than teaching yoga or even teaching therapeutic yoga. A yoga therapist is a professional career path now. And it's not known. It's not really known broadly, even though inroads are being made in some of the medical models and all of this. People know what yoga is primarily. People don't know what yoga therapy is. And a lot of times I hear from our students and our alum like, oh, it's so hard to find clients because so many people don't know what yoga therapy is. And what I'm hearing you say is like, don't lead with the yoga therapy. And maybe that problem won't be the problem anymore, right?
Exactly right. It's looking at who are your favorite ideal clients. And if you're fairly new, you may not have enough of a body of work or body of experience to determine that yet, but just pay attention if you're on the newer side. And if you've been practicing for any number of years, like look back at who have been your favorite clients. And when you look at who your favorite clients are, I guarantee that they will have at least two things about them. One is that they're going to be the people that you just enjoyed the most and loved working with. You just vibed right with them, resonated with them. And two is that they were committed and saw the best results from your services. So that's a simple way to look at it, is who has seen the best results from your services and you loved working with them? And start to look for the patterns in there. And so the patterns might be actually totally personality-based, but the patterns could be actually based on their specific, again, pains or problems or goals or desires. That's what you want to be calling out to in your marketing. You know, it could be perimenopausal women, which is what I'm going to put out because that's where I'm at right now. So, right, like the symptoms of perimenopause or something like that, or injury. I'm also an athlete, right? So specific, it might be specific injuries in specific sports or specific functional movement issues. That's what you want to be calling out to, is the problems that people are facing and the goals they have, rather than who's looking for yoga therapy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here and to hear your thoughts on how you guide your clients to get more clients without more marketing. So not only a challenge for our listeners, I imagine, but also for myself as the director and chief executive of all things at Inner Peace Yoga Therapy. So what kind of tips or guidance do you have for us to get more clients without more marketing?
The first thing I'd like to share or just put out there is that I think for those of us that are new to business or not comfortable yet with business, that still don't feel confident on the business side of things, yet we love working with our clients, right? For this set, it is really, really common for us to think like, how am I supposed to grow my business? How am I supposed to get more clients? And we think, oh, marketing. And we kind of put like everything business in the marketing bucket. And everything we think we need to do is all marketing, is all about marketing. Oh, I need to do marketing. And that's also the thing that we feel most uncomfortable with. And so like both of those present issues. What I want to point out is that marketing is not actually how you get clients. And that's a big misunderstanding there is. We think that if I just put myself out there more and get known more, and maybe we think I should be posting on social media all the time and more regularly, or I should be writing blog posts, whatever it is, we think that if we did more marketing that we would get more clients. But marketing is not how you get clients. Marketing is how you attract attention. It is how you can get leads. But to get actual clients, as in people who are paying you for your services, that is a portion of business called sales. That's a sales process. And marketing and sales are actually two different processes, two different departments of your business. So I don't know how many times I have heard somebody say, I was posting on social media every day and it did nothing, nothing happened. And I've spent so much money on these ads and nothing happened. And usually that's because people are thinking, if I just somehow get more visible, that somehow I'm going to get clients, when they're missing a process for converting that attention and that awareness into paying clients. So that's what's missing there, is a sales process. And I would say that 99% of practitioners of in all different disciplines, when they first come to me, have no sales process whatsoever and look at me, you know, with deer eyes when I say, what's your sales process? Because we just don't have the training to know what that is. So what it is you need some kind of step-by-step process for someone to become a client. And yeah. I'd be curious, Michelle, like the folks you work with and your audience, if they fall into this. What I see widely is that due to the heavy influence of digital marketing and digital funnels, that practitioners who are offering these like very individual personal services, often one-on-one, are trying to use a digital sales process. And so what that means is like people are meant to purchase online. Meaning that's how they become a client, is they press a button that says buy now, and that's how they're supposed to buy. Or when I ask a practitioner, like, how does somebody become a client? They say, well, I get referrals, you know, or I get a text or I get an email. And then I say, okay. And somebody somehow got your email, or they fill out a contact form on the website, for example. They fill out a contact form. And then, so what happens then? And the practitioner will say, well, I respond to them. And I say, well, what do you say? And they don't really know what they say. They say, I just say whatever I think I need to say to try to find out a little bit about them and get them to book a session. And so those are all attempts at a sales process, right? But what we want is a sales process that's really predictable, like a step-by-step process that carries your lead to become a client if they're the right fit for you. And so what I like to think of it is like, if you have a front yard, what you're doing is you're laying the stepping stones to your front door. So they see, this is how I get to the front door. I take this step. Okay, there's the next step. I take that step. And it's all by consent. You're not pushing or pulling. Like, they're taking the steps to get to your front door. But it's super clear what they're doing. And also in the sales system that I help practitioners build, we have filters in place because you want to really make sure you're only working with those people that I mentioned before, the ones you love working with and that will see the best results from your services. That's only going to make your business more successful, actually, when you turn away people, to be real true and honest about it. So turning away people that are not going to be a great fit for you for any reason and bringing those others through. So that's how you get more clients without more marketing, is by creating a clear step-by-step sales process for any attention you get, any leads you get, to see, here's the first step I take to get to know Michelle better, right? Oh, here's the second step. Oh, here's the third step. It's being presented right in front of me. Each time I take a step, it's clear what the next step is and I'm being invited to it.
That's great. That's really helpful. By the way, I am one of those people that like had a corporate job. I have an MBA and then I became a wellness practitioner and the director of this school. So everything that you're describing to me, I do have an understanding of, and yet I see how needed it is in our profession and even really for myself. It's such great fundamental business. And there is such a huge emphasis on marketing, particularly digital marketing, like you say. And it's such a hustle and it's really expensive. And I think what happens is if we think that, like you say, business is all about marketing and it's so expensive and we don't know how to do it, it actually just kind of stall you out entirely, getting stuck in this overwhelm.
Yeah, it sucks the life out of you, especially if you're not effective with it. And then when it doesn't actually produce clients, right? And so when you're talking about the digital marketing thing, something I want to note is, I think digital marketing that leads to a sales page. This is the part that I'm talking about that has infiltrated all of business. And I think it's a mistake in service-based businesses like ours. All of that is this digital funnel from this to this to this that is meant to get you to a sales page where you buy from the sales page. And we as service providers who are working like in such a personal level with our clients, you don't want somebody to be buying from you where you haven't vetted them and you don't know them and you haven't established a connection with them. So it's not good for your business. And then furthermore, a sales page, I mean, if you look in digital marketing land, sales pages get like a high conversion rate, a really like the kind of conversion rate that somebody would be bragging about on their sales page would be like 10%. So that means one in 10 people that land there are actually going to buy. So we're talking about you need tons of traffic. That's what it's all based on is traffic. Yeah. Versus in a service-based business, in a business like ours, I don't think I mentioned the crux of the sales system that I teach, where those steps end is at a consultation. And so the consultation is like a deep conversation you get to have with your prospective client to uncover their needs and make sure they're a good fit for your services. If they are, you enroll them. And the conversion rate in consultations is like minimum 50%, but usually looks more like 80 to 100%, especially if you're an in-person, if you're doing them in person. I would just say, forget the sales pages. You don't even need to learn any of that and that you can build relationships. So the marketing, again, just is your attention and awareness, but that is not what's going to get you clients. What you want to be doing is having invitations. And so just a tip to everybody listening, it simply can be that anything you're doing that's public facing where you are getting attention, you can offer an invitation and you can say, I invite you to schedule a consultation with me and show them how to do that, whether it's reaching out to you or you have an automated link for it or whatever.
Really helpful. So I'd love for you to talk to us a little bit about the importance of designing programs and packages and why you think that's critical for sales success.
And not just sales success. This is at the heart of what I teach. I mean, nobody, I should phrase it in the positive. Everyone that works with me, this is part of why they want to work with me is because they, in their own businesses, want to get deeper and want to serve their clients more powerfully. And to me, designing programs is the way to do that. So you'll have to tell me a little bit, Michelle, in terms of what the different contexts of providers of yoga therapy are doing, but in most, and I shouldn't even say most, widely across the health and wellness industry, the standard is to sell sessions or packs of sessions. Yep. And the fact is that is not client-centered. That does not come from a place of how do I provide the best results for my clients? Because I always ask a practitioner, what does your ideal client actually need to get the results they're after? And never, ever is it one session. That's just not how it works. Right. There's finding the root cause of whatever's going on, addressing the root cause, correcting dysfunctional patterns, putting in place new patterns. There's a whole process to it. And it's a journey. And in fact, I was just listening to, you had a recent episode where you had graduates of your program on, right? And one of the people, the first, you asked her to share something like why she joined it. And the first thing she said was, this has been such a wonderful journey. And that's exactly it. That's what this is. Transformational work is a journey. And we want to give our clients that journey of transformation. And so selling a session or selling packs of sessions just does not do that. Even the packs of sessions, that's not framed as a particular container, right, as a journey.
Yeah.
And so for the client side and for client results, I really believe that practitioners should be designing what does the journey look like for their ideal client to get the results that they're after. That's number one. But then it just has this awesome business win in that it provides you steady, predictable income. Because people are working with you for however long your journeys are. I mean, my clients design things that are 3 months long, 6 months long, 12 months long. A lot of them will have you know, particularly for practitioners who are generally working with people who might have a particular injury or particular chronic or acute injury, those people are coming in pain. So they might have a front-end program that is just focused on addressing that pain, uncovering what's going on, fixing that, or whatever. And then they'll offer them a continuing journey where a new container of sort of maintenance and forever after. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So this can have phases to your journey and your journey for your clients and milestones and really looking at all of these as a container. And for them, this is so powerful because this is what people want. People want to get results. And when we're selling them a session, this is something I've experienced as a client so many times myself. It's frustrating, honestly, to actually not have a long-term outlook. Like, what is this going to take if I'm injured or if I, you know, you read my bio and like I've been a competitive weightlifter for the last 15 years. So I have a competition coming up and I want to make sure I'm in the best shape I can be for it or something. It's like, okay, what does this look like? What's the treatment plan? What's the plan here? And that's what we're talking about, is giving a plan, and it's not arbitrary. It's not like you come in each week and we'll figure it out from there. It's not you come in each week and I ask you, what's going on today? I mean, that could be part of it, but it's like there's actually a long-term outlook here for what we're doing and how we're going to support you.
And that is exactly what yoga therapy and yoga therapists do. It's all based on the goals of the individual. And for success toward a particular goal requires building toward it and treatment plans and changing gears if needed and empowering the client along the way. Like, all of those are the process for yoga therapy. And so what you've just described here very much speaks to this field and what the professional yoga therapist does. It's not a one-time thing, and it's not play it by ear each week and do something different every time.
That's beautiful. And where I'm coming in is saying, okay, let's make your business structures in your business actually reflect that, so that the clients know what they're enrolling in. They're choosing from the beginning, yes, I'm in this 6-month container with you, and this is what the journey's going to be, and here we go. And they're committing to that from the beginning, and even the payment process is built in that way. So they're not paying you at the end of each session. They're paying you automatically on a monthly charge at the beginning of the month because they're already 100% in.
Yeah, and then, like you've said already numerous times, you get better clients. Because the other problem that yoga therapists have is, well, my client like didn't do the homework. My client's not progressing because they didn't know that they were signing up for this. So I think what it does is it really clarifies the process and the role and what the expectations are from both parties.
That's right. And all of that that you just said, that all becomes part of your sales process. So I mentioned having filters in place. You have filters in place to make sure that, for example, somebody is willing to commit the time and the energy to what it's going to take, and the finances to what it's going to take. And when you are in consultation, so there's filters in that ahead of time. And then in the consultation, that's part of what they are fully buying into and agreeing to and completely understand.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I hope some of our listeners got value out of what you shared so far. And maybe they're curious and want to work with you more too. So I'll certainly include a link as to how to get in touch with you and learn more in the show notes of the podcast. So last question, which I ask everyone, is just kind of give us a little insight into what sustains you on a daily practice level. We put a lot of importance on that in our programs and say to our trainees, like, if you want to do this work of a yoga therapist, first you must have your own practice. And that's going to help you hold space and navigate things so that you're steady in yourself before you serve others. I'm curious what you might do on a daily basis to kind of keep you steady and on track.
Well, thank you for asking. I definitely have many morning, midday, and evening, but I'll share that in the mornings, I absolutely do a movement practice. And I might consider it kind of pulled partially from yoga and partially just, I don't even know what other fields I do. I do this movement work that is very meditative and very intuitive for me. And then I sit down and I journal. That is part of my morning every morning.
Beautiful. I love it. And I imagine that you miss it on the days that you might have to skip or whatever. And yet it probably has become such an important thing that even if you miss it, you get back to it because you value its importance.
Yeah, I definitely. But if I miss it, it's because I've chosen to usually. So I really believe in building our businesses and our lives to be exactly what we want them to be. And so it is built into my schedule and my life.
Wonderful. Well, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today, Joanna. And I hope that perhaps someday we might be able to work a little more together and maybe some folks head your way to improve their yoga therapy businesses. I think that would be a wonderful thing.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Thanks.
If you'd like to learn more about who we are and what we do, visit us at innerpeaceyogatherapy.com.